Lord, as we come to look at your word, we just pray that you may lighten your word to us, so that we may walk the right path, that you may guide us as your sheep along that right path. That right path, Lord, that leads to your kingdom. So we ask this in your name. Amen. Well, Psalm 23, it's probably one of the best known passages in all the Bible. And many of us may have learnt it as children, and it continues to be the Bible passage that is chosen for the funeral of a loved one. It's a psalm that gives comfort at a time of tragedy, and it's a psalm of comfort to those who are seriously ill and facing death. When we read the words of Psalm 23, it can become very personal and individual. And I'm quite sure you agree that we don't generally think of David shepherding his sheep 3,000 years ago when that is read. It does apply to us today. The Lord is my shepherd right now in 2017. Now, we live in a society where tending sheep is not the ordinary occupation. A teacher, yes. A refuse collector, yes. But a shepherd, well, not really. We won't really be familiar with what a shepherd's life is really like. And so I think we have a tendency to lose a little bit of the meaning that David intended when he wrote these words. So I did a little bit of research on the internet. I came across an overview of a shepherd's life from a book by Philip Keller. I sort of googled in what does a shepherd do in the Middle East and why does he do it in the Middle East. Well, Philip Keller, he grew up and he lived in East Africa, where he was surrounded by sheep herders similar to those in the Middle East. And as a young man, he spent 8 years of his own life as a sheep owner and a sheep rancher. So the insights that he and others bring will, I think, help us to understand what David probably felt as he wrote these words that make up Psalm 23. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. As you know, David was himself a shepherd. He was known as the Shepherd King of Israel. But he saw Jehovah, the Lord God of Israel, as his shepherd. And so he speaks in this psalm as if he was one of the flock, one of the sheep. He knew without any doubt who his shepherd was. It is the Lord God himself. The Lord is his owner, and the Lord is his manager. The Lord is his shepherd. And the Lord is the shepherd to everyone who follows him. And yet David could say, he is my shepherd. Shepherds are mentioned many times in God's word. In Genesis chapter 4 verse 2, we are told that Abel kept flocks. Abraham and Moses were also shepherds, as well as David. And so these people were going to do great things for God. And in the New Testament, Jesus refers to himself, as we've heard, as the Good Shepherd. Now, David knew all about sheep, which is more than I can say for myself, apart from the fact that my name's David. And he knew how to care for them, and he knew how to protect them from harm. And he knew the importance of the sheep obeying his call. And he knew from first-hand experience that the lot of any particular sheep depends on the type of person who owns it. Under one person, sheep might struggle, starve, and maybe suffer endless hardships. Under another, they might flourish and thrive contentedly. David, through his relationship with the one true living God, was experiencing what it was like to flourish spiritually, what it was like to be spiritually contented. And it's a sense of pride, really, that he says, the Lord is my shepherd. my shepherd. What a great God we have, don't we? He chose us, he brought us, he calls us by name, he makes us his own, and he delights in taking care of us. And that last aspect is really what this song is all about, how the Lord takes care of us. So David continues by saying, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So the idea here is that the Lord supplies our every need. I read of a Sunday school teacher who asked her class of young children if any of them could quote the entire 23rd Psalm. And a 4.5-year-old girl was amongst those who raised their hands. And rather sceptical, the teacher asked if she could really quote the entire psalm. And the little girl came out, faced the class and said this, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." And she then went and sat down. Now she may have overlooked the remaining 5 verses, but I think the little girl captured David's heart in Psalm 23. The idea throughout the psalm is that we are utterly contented in the shepherd's care, and there's nothing else that we desire. So when David speaks of lacking nothing, he recognises that the Lord supplies his every need, not his every want. Paul tells the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." So the same one who sustained the children of Israel, the one who fed Elijah in the brook, the one who provided the needs of the disciples sent out without staff or shoes, the very one has promised to provide our needs, both physical and spiritual. So what is a good shepherd like? He loves his sheep, and for him there is no greater reward, no deeper satisfaction than that of seeing his sheep contented, well fed, safe and flourishing in his care. And that's what his life is all about, and he gives everything that he has to it. He goes to a great deal of trouble to provide them with the finest grazing, with ample winter feed and with clean water. He provides shelter from the storms, protection from the enemies and the diseases and the parasites to which sheep are susceptible. From dawn till late at night, the good shepherd is alert to the welfare of his flock. He gets up early in the morning, goes out first thing to look over his flock. He examines the sheep to see if they are fit and content and able to be on their feet. And he can tell whether they are ill or require some special attention. I'm referring to the shepherd being a he because most are. There are apparently a handful of female shepherds currently working in this country and a small percentage overseas. So because of that, I use the word he. Throughout the day, he looks over his flock to make sure that everything is okay. And even at night, when sleeping, he will react and be ready at the least sign of trouble to get up and to protect his sheep. And that's the kind of shepherd that we have. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John chapter 10, verse 11. So the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now I understand that it's not easy to get a sheep to lie down. They refuse to lie down unless they are free from all fear. There must be no tension between members of the flock. They must not be aggravated with flies or with parasites. They must be free from hunger. So it's a responsibility of the shepherd to see that his flock is free from any disturbances. Sheep are very easily frightened, When one startled sheep runs in fright, all the others will follow behind it in blind fear. And nothing calms a flock of sheep like seeing their shepherd in the field with them. They know the shepherd and must feel safe in their care. And in many ways, we are like the sheep, aren't we? We're also easily frightened. We live in an uncertain life. Any hour can bring disaster. And generally, it's the unknown, the unexpected, that frightens us most. And the wonderful thing is that our shepherd is right there in the field, with us and alongside us, to share those anxieties and those fears. Maintaining status and dominance is important in the animal kingdom. In chickens, it's known as the pecking order. And among sheep, it is called the butting order. And sheep maintain their status by butting and driving away other sheep from their favourite grazing spot. And when there's tension in the flock, the sheep can't lie down and rest. They must always stand and be ready to fight. And the result is that it wears the sheep out. They lose weight and become irritable. But whenever the shepherd is around, they forget their rivalries and they stop their fighting. Does that sound familiar to you? People are like the sheep in many ways. There's a struggle for status in our society. To keep up with the Joneses, and I don't mean Keith and Meg, by the way. And there's a struggle, isn't there, for self-assertion and self-recognition. We may have experienced those who quarrel and push others aside as they compete to get ahead, to be number one. It's impossible to relax in that kind of environment, isn't it? You have to be always ready to stand up and defend your rights. But things change, or should change, when our shepherd is around us. The Lord's presence helps us to bring us together in harmony, united in following him. Sheep will not rest until they are free from hunger. A hungry sheep is always on its feet, searching for another mouthful of food, trying to satisfy its hunger. Now we need to keep in mind that David was in Palestine when he wrote this psalm, and it was a dry, sun-scorched land. So green pastures didn't just happen by chance. Shepherds had to search hard for green areas, or even cultivate them themselves. So it was only when a sheep had eaten enough, when it was free from fear, tension and aggravation, that it would lie down. And our shepherd provides us with the spiritual food that we need. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, he has promised to fill us. All of our needs are met in Christ. And that's why David could say, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." He goes on to say, "He leads me beside quiet waters." Sheep also need water to survive as we do. And they will not drink from noisy, turbulent water. They require a well or a slow flowing stream. They need quiet, still waters. Jesus made it clear that the thirsty souls of men and women can only be fully satisfied by coming to him. John chapter 7 verse 37 says this: "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Jesus, our shepherd, leads us beside the quiet, still waters. David then goes on to say that the Lord, his shepherd, refreshes his soul. Now perhaps here he is thinking of the sheep that has turned over onto its back and is unable to get back upright. And if the shepherd doesn't arrive within a short time, that sheep will die. A shepherd will search for hours for a single sheep, only to find it on its back lying helpless. He then turns the sheep over onto his side, rubs its legs and restores circulation, and then lifts it to his feet. After a while, the sheep will stumble and stagger, but eventually will walk steadily. Now David may have had this in mind when he said, "He refreshes my soul," because God will do that for us when we stumble and we fall. God, our shepherd, was able and willing to restore David from the hopeless situations that he found himself in. God was able to get him back on his feet. And if he can do that for David, he can do the same for us. David could say, "He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." If sheep are left to themselves, they will continue to graze the same hills until they turn them into just like a desert waste. They'll gnaw the grass until there's nothing left to graze on. They need a shepherd who will direct them and lead them to good grazing land. And just like the sheep, we need to follow the direction that our shepherd is pointing us towards. We turn away from our shepherd at a cost. We are a lot like sheep. We prefer to follow our own instincts and our own agendas. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. We need our Lord and Shepherd to direct and lead us along the right path. Our Shepherd is not a driver. Our Shepherd is a leader. He doesn't stand behind us with a stick saying, "Go on and do that." He goes ahead and leads us the way forward for us. So our shepherd will always lead us along the right path. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14 verse 6. The right path is the one that leads to life and to the Father. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Verse 4. So we now have a new emphasis in the psalm. David turns to address the shepherd directly. In the first three verses, he is sharing with us what the benefits are of having God as his shepherd. He's referred to the Lord, his shepherd, as "he." And now David is saying "you." There are going to be valleys in life for all of us. Some of us have many valleys and some few. Some of us have deep valleys, some not so deep. But somewhere in our journey of life and faith, we must all cross the darkest valley. We're all destined to die. But for those who've allowed Jesus to be their shepherd and have followed his guidance for their lives, he will lead them to life eternal. We must be encouraged by these words from John chapter 3 verse 16, words that you will recognise. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So if you are a child of God, then take heart. Nothing, not even death itself, can take away that promise of life eternal. David then goes on to say, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When David wrote this, the shepherd in the Middle East carried only a rod and a staff. And the rod is like a club, and the shepherd learns to throw it with real amazing speed and accuracy. And it became his main weapon of defence against predators. It was also used for discipline. If a sheep wanders away or approaches poisonous weeds or gets too close to some danger, then the rod is thrown to send it back to the flock. Now the staff, on the other hand, is a long slender stick often with a crook or a hook on one end. The shepherd will use the staff to guide and to nudge the sheep along a new path or through a gate. And it may also be used to get a sheep out of trouble, to pull it from the water, or to free it from thorns. To those of us who are God's sheep, the authority, guidance and protection of the Lord are indeed a comfort. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Well, we all know that sheep don't sit at the table to eat. So what does this mean? Well, Philip Keller gives us this picture as to what David is referring to here. He says, in the spring, after the snows melt, the shepherd will take his sheep up the mountain to find the pastures. But first he will go up into the rough, wild country to check it out. He will decide where his camps will be located, and he'll make sure that the vegetation is sturdy enough. He will check for poisonous weeds and uncover any snakes, etc., etc. So David recognizes that the Lord takes care of him when he has enemies surrounding him. Like the shepherd, he goes ahead and checks things out. There's nothing that our shepherd has not experienced. He knows our sorrows and he has endured our struggles in order to help us through. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now this next little bit I'm going to say is not for the squeamish. In hot climates, sheep are especially bothered by the nasal fly. They buzz around the sheep's head, trying to deposit eggs onto the damp nose of the sheep. And if they are successful, the eggs hatch to form small worm-like larvae. And they crawl up the sheep's nose and cause a great deal of aggravation. So at the beginning of fly season, shepherds will mix up an oil concoction. In Palestine, they used a mixture of olive oil, sulphur and spices. And it would then be applied to the heads of the sheep. Oil is also used to cure scab, which is a highly contagious disease among sheep. So David, as a shepherd, uses this analogy to say that the Lord gave him everything that he needs and more. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. So David knew what he was saying when he says, my cup overflows. And David also knows without any doubt that he was in a privileged position as a result of the relationship that he had with his shepherd. He knew the love and care that his shepherd had for him, which is why this psalm ends with these words. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If we hadn't been looking at the Psalms of David over many Sunday evenings, we could think that David lived quite a comfortable life. He had no problems, but we know that wasn't the case, don't we? He faced many dangers and uncertainties. He made decisions that were not popular. He had enemies trying to kill him and to dethrone him. But he also had a real trust in the Lord, his shepherd. The one who directs him, the one who keeps him on the right path, the one who cares for him, and the one who protects him. So to the nation, David was a king. To the shepherd, David was one of his sheep that he would treat just like the other sheep. All of the shepherd's sheep are equally as important to him. He wants us to know this. You and I are important to the shepherd, as David is. John chapter 10 verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And I lay down my life for my sheep. What a commitment the shepherd makes for his sheep. What a commitment God makes for each one of us. We are the sheep of his pasture. His goodness and love will follow us all the days of our life. And we, like David, have that promise that only our shepherd can give, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.